So many people we have in this church who work so hard to make sure that things go well. Sometimes out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes I forget to thank Chuck Gregory for being our sound person. Our sound board's right above you up there. You choir may see him every once in a while, but you all are faced this way. You all may know he's up there, but you don't always get to see him. But I never want to forget Chuck. Without Chuck, we don't have sound. I want to thank Valerie O'Brien for doing the video when she's here. And I want to thank Ben Jones. When Chuck can't be here and Valerie can't be here, Ben seems to find a way of filling in for them. And when Ben can't be here, Andrew, doesn't he, Ben? Yeah. Andrew Lemons comes and helps us. So many people in this church help to minister to the needs and fulfill the needs. You and I serve a great God who worked through His people, of whom you and I are very proud to be called, I hope. The book of John. The first chapter of the book of John, beginning with verse 29, reading through verse 42, hear these words. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. And John declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is translated 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated 'anointed.' He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You're Simon, son of John. You are to be called Kephas,' which is translated 'Peter,' which you and I know is also translated" what? "Rock." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to bear witness as the disciple John bared witness. It is our desire to give off signs as you did, pointing beyond ourselves to the source of life who is Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that we do this in deeds as well as words. We come as we are, O Lord, but not to stay as we are. Hear our prayer, answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The disciple John, writing about John the Baptist. That can be confusing, can it? We might think John the Baptist is writing this, and John the Baptist isn't writing this. The disciple John is writing this, and the disciple John is not John the Baptist. There will be a test. John the Beloved writes John's Gospel, and he writes about John the Baptist, we call him. But you'll notice that in this witness, John isn't baptizing anyone. That doesn't mean that John didn't baptize Jesus. In the other Gospels, we read where he did. But in this Gospel, John is emphasizing something more that John the Baptist did. Notice that when he sees Jesus and knows who he is, he points him out to everyone and he calls him the Lamb of God. Now, when I say to you the Lamb of God, I hope your mind goes back to that place where the first century Jew would go back. Egypt. For that is a place where God showed up, you will recall. For it was there where the 10th plague would be put upon the people, and the 10th plague was the first born child would be killed. Not only the first born child, but the first born animal. That's interesting. What were they to do? During Passover, they were taking a lamb and they were to paint the door posts with the lamb's blood. And when the death angel came by, what would it do? When it saw the blood on the doorpost, it would pass over them. What sin did that lamb's blood cover? It wasn't Israel's sin that the lamb's blood covered. It was a sign of the promise of liberation. Liberation from what? Oppression. What kind of oppression? Being a slave in Egypt instead of being the people of God and becoming what you were created to be. The lamb blood on the doorposts is a sign of God liberating the Hebrew children from the Egyptian Pharaoh and setting them free. The first century Jew was looking for another Moses to set them free from the oppression of sin and death. And the one who came, who was greater than Moses, is Jesus. Notice that John the Baptist, who is Jesus' second cousin, says about Jesus twice, "I did not know him." I find that very interesting. You don't know your second cousin? I don't know my fourth cousin, fifth removed, but I know my first cousin. Why, my first cousin and I used to spend the night together. We used to play together. I know my first cousin. John didn't know Jesus. He didn't know what he looked like. You see, John didn't grow up in Galilee. He didn't grow up in Nazareth. Where did he grow up? Where did his daddy, Zacchaeus, who was a preacher, by the way, and Elizabeth raised John? We're not told. The church fathers has a theory. It's conjecture. Can't be proven. It's sort of like Samuel. It wasn't uncommon for people to take their child who was promised and born, who was barren at the time, and give them back to God. For in that time there were some Essenes. And some believed that Elizabeth and Zechariah gave their son to a holy order. And they raised John. And for the first time, John displays himself as when he comes out into the Jordan and he starts speaking about the promised Messiah. And it's there where he recognizes Jesus because God the Father told him how to recognize him. He didn't say to him, "He'll have long hair and brown eyes." He didn't say he'd have brown skin. Why? There was a lot of people with long hair. A lot of people with brown eyes. A lot of people with brown skin. So how would they recognize him? When he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit will descend on him like a dove. And that's him. John was looking for that sign. God revealed who his son was to John, and John reveals him to those who were there That's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin. You will see it is a singular word, not sins with an S. Sin, because sin in the Gospel of John is unbelief. There's days you and I believe. There's days you and I may not believe so strongly. There may be even times when you and I don't believe. I meet a lot of people who are unbelievers. They claim to be atheists. And the reason they claim atheism is because they asked God for something and God did not grant it. Therefore, they ask God for something, God doesn't grant it, they deduct, there is no God. You can understand. You and I may not agree with that, but you and I can understand why someone may deduct themselves to not believe that. You and I wouldn't believe it's true, but we can understand how someone may come to that conclusion. You and I may not believe that's the right conclusion, but you and I may understand. I understand how they can do that. The Gospel of John says that our work as Christian is belief. Belief is hard work. If you and I don't believe that belief is hard work, then you and I may not know what it's like to believe. Put someone on their deathbed who you want to live and find out how easy it is to believe. When I was working at Erlanger, I learned a lesson about telling people that their loved one was going to be all right. I learned a valuable lesson. Because I tried to encourage them to have faith and to believe. And the only way I knew how to keep them believing was to let them know that their loved one would be okay, that God would save them. And then when they died, they would come to me and they say, "Preacher, what happened?" You see, it's in times like that that you can't tell these young people that God healed them perfectly. Because you see, they won't go, "Oh, well, that explains everything. Have a good day, preacher." They don't get it. So now, I try and remember to pray, "Oh Lord, thank you for being with us in this place. And may we trust you in our prayer with whatever happens." That's hard to pray because anything can happen. Belief is the sin. Unbelief is the sin. Belief is what saves us and puts us in relationship with God and neighbor. John says that he didn't know him until Jesus was recognized by him, that God showed him. Then, as John realizes who he is, he sees him again. And he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And do you know what happens next? John puts down that he lost two members in his following. He put that in his evangelism report. Because he pointed to the Lamb of God. And his two followers said, "Hey, if John's not the one and Jesus is, later John." And they follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, don't follow preachers. Don't follow children and youth directors. Don't follow Sunday school teachers. Don't follow choir directors. But more importantly, don't follow preachers. They have clay feet like you. They are not Jesus. They are not Jesus. I've always wondered, when John sent word by his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one, or should they look for another, that Jesus had to pause and to say some things that were positive about John in the Gospel of Matthew. When you went out, what did you go out to see? For by John asking the question, there may have been those who stopped believing John. Not that they were following him, but to believe that maybe he had missed it because of his questions. But Jesus valued John. John had done his calling. He had pointed out the Messiah, and those followers followed him as well as they should. And John was happy about that. John was not jealous that his followers followed Jesus. And then they ask him a question. Teacher, they hadn't learned to call him Lord yet. Teacher, where do you stay? In other words, where do you abide? Well, Jesus abides in his Father. He can do nothing without the Father. His teaching. Where can we get some of your teaching? And Jesus said to them, come and see. Andrew went to get his brother, Simon Peter, and said, we have found the Anointed One. The Messiah. Peter followed. That is our mission, brothers and sisters. Someone has pointed you and me into the direction of Jesus Christ, and we are following him day by day. We're working on our belief to be strong in the faith, to know if it's not going to be all right, it's still going to be all right, and to live in that way. When given the opportunity, we share and we witness to the good news, hoping to bring someone along with us, because we can't save people. We can't fix people. All you and I can do is bring them to Jesus. Now, Jesus can save people. Jesus can turn their life around. But you and I, we don't have that kind of power. If you and I had that kind of power, we could write a book and we could be rich. But we don't have that kind of power. When you and I invite people to come, we know what they say, don't we? I don't really have my life straightened out yet. Wait until I get my life straightened out and then I'll come to church. Or wait until I quit this habit or that addiction or that, and then I'll come to church. But you and I know what to say. No, don't wait. Come as you are. Come just like you are. God accepts you just like you are, but he won't keep you just like you are. He will accept you just like you are. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the good news. When we come to Christ just as we are, he takes us, he cleans us up, he puts us on the right path, he puts his Spirit in us, and all of a sudden, the character and nature of God begins developing in you and me. Someone said that Billy Graham's success was George Beverly Shea. If Billy Graham hadn't had George Beverly Shea, Billy Graham wouldn't be a success. No pressure, choir. No pressure. Brothers and sisters, come as you are, just as I am. A song that you and I may have come to Jesus to. A very special hymn in our hearts. And when people start making excuses why they don't come to church or come to Jesus, you and I can say very gently, calmly, non-judgmental, Jesus accepts us just as we are. Come and see. For it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.